So please welcome on stage Giuseppe. He's going to talk about how Kotlin can change developer experience with modern graphics APIs. Please.
Hi, thank you. I'm Giuseppe Barbieri. I'm a graphic developer by Reno, who is working on a software called MCheck, which is a CAD-like software for analyzing the visibility field of different types of vehicles. And basically, I fell in love with Kotlin some years ago, and then I started writing some utility libs to help the development with graphics. So let's get started. We'll start with OpenGL. I will assume that we are all Kotlinians, and some of you might already know OpenGL and maybe Vulkan. How many knows OpenGL? Okay, Vulkan. Okay. So for the others, let's say this is much more about code, so you can still understand most of the stuff. So let's get started with OpenGL. So it's a really whole library, let's say, started in 91 with SGI. Then they left the development in 2006 and basically hand over to Kronos, which released a very big version, 3.0, in 2008. They also introduced deprecation mechanism and context. And the 4.1 is the last available macOS. This is a little shame. And the last release available for all the other platforms is 4.6, which was released on 2017, 2 years ago. Vulkan came a little earlier than that. So welcome, GLN. What is about? Basically about makes some, I would say, some massive use of inline classes, where basically you already know it's an integer. Most of the time it's an integer, but works like classes, and also enums, although they are not really available in Kotlin, but there's a little trick. Then also we have inline functions, so basically you write the nice code, and then everything, all the, let's say, I will not say ugly, but all the boilerplate code will be then replaced by the compiler. It's also object-oriented. So as I said, on the inline classes, we have all the methods. DSL, where you can easily wrap some scope, some, let's say, OpenGL object, and then inside the scope, do something nice. Functional programming, so you can pass around lambdas whenever needed. And there are also some convenience overloading function that basically take maybe some parameter, some, let's say, parameters which are quite obvious out of the question, so we can have some more concise code. And it plays quite well with quite nicely with another library, GLM. It's basically a part of the original C GLM. To get the best way is just to start showing code, and let's go through a very, very simple hello world program. So in this case, for example, we start our main, we define some variable where we have, for example, the program variable, then a numerator to identify the two buffers that we are going to use, one for the vertex and one for the element. Then the actual variable, which is under the hood, it's direct int buffer, it's native memory. Then we have one integer for the vertex array and two for the uniform, the so-called MVP for the model view projection matrix, and one for the diffuse color. Then let's dig into our first method, init program. Okay. Here you can see in our function, we start just, I will show you first the plain way to do it in Kotlin. So we first create our program, then we want to create our vertex shader. We have another function for that called init vertex shader. We go inside our init vertex shader. We can define here the source. This is a pretty standard shader where we have, for example, matrix, two then incoming attribute, vertex attributes. And here Kotlin makes very nice because first we have the triple quote. So compared to Java, this is already a very nice point, very nice advantages. And if we want, we can also inject, as you see in the comment, we can inject some explicit vertex layout, like, for example, position. Then we have also one for the color. We have an outside code for the color that will be linearly interpreted by the fragment shader. And then in the main, we simply multiply the incoming position by the matrix. We assign to the GLSL position, and then we also pass the color. Then we create our vertex shader. We need to pass, of course, the type of the vertex shader, the type of the shader that we want to create. In this case, vertex shader. Then we can have a generic init shaders where we give the object we just created and the source. In the init shaders, we receive, as I say, the shaders and the source. So first, we want to set the source to the shaders. We want then to compile the shaders. It's a lot of redundancy here. Then we want to check if, of course, everything went fine, or we want to know if there was some problem. So we retrieve the compile status. GL get shader I means that, of course, we will get an int. Then we need to, for example, check this int against one OpenGL constant like GL false. If the compile fail, then we want to see what went wrong. So we want, of course, to retrieve the info log, but we need first to retrieve the info log length. And this is what we are doing here. GL get shader I, we pass the shader itself, and then the constant info log length. We return an int, then with this, we can